Hello, everyone. This is him downstairs. Thanks for stopping by the basement for the Gorilla Staring podcast, where we're taking a trip down the rabbit hole in my mind. And who knows what I might talk about, what I might say. I'll tell you this. Whatever goes down will be spicy and feisty. So maybe you're off to work or on your break eating your cheese sandwich. So sit back, relax, have some snacks, and let's go. Hello, everyone. This is him downstairs. It is a Saturday at 1:54 p.m., August 26, 2023. And it's been a doozy. I was supposed to go to last night. I have to apologize to some people who are listening to this because some of the people who are listening to this actually I work with them. And I have to apologize for my my conduct yesterday. I didn't go out or anything. I was supposed to go out and say it was supposed to be like a fond farewell to certain individuals, but I did not because I was dead tired. I was exhausted. So I don't know if they're going to forgive me. I mean, of course they'll forgive me. It's not like I owed them money or anything, but I kind of feel bad. But then yesterday I was so damn tired I passed out. Yeah, so speaking of that, I guess things are okay. I mean, I had a doctor's appointment yesterday. That was kind of, not awkward. It just, some things came up that I wasn't too pretty much fond of. And one of them is I have another hernia. It seems like this hernia thing is never going to go away. I don't know what, I mean, I know it causes hernias, but I don't see myself stressing out. Or maybe all the stuff that I'm doing has stressed me out to the point. And it's just someplace else. It's a little bit higher, which I'm not happy about. But it is a sign of things that I need to take care of and fix and focus and all that stuff. You know, if you don't take care, what is it? There's a saying: if you don't take care of the business will take care of you. So, so yeah, I need to definitely fix things before they definitely get out of hand. You know, so. This one will definitely be, well, it won't be short, but it'll be straight to the point. I won't get sidetracked on this one. This is another gun nut series. And the last one we did was about I guess I got triggered for the last one over an article that was, I think it was in Rational Wikipedia, and it was about what this one individual wrote a piece on what they thought a gun nut is, right? And I was getting, like I said, a little bit ticked off, you know, more and more I read about it, and I thought it was just so misleading. At the same time, they tried to say, well, a gun nut is this. Usually it's this type of person, and they have these reasons, where at the same time they say, well, everyone else that owns guns doesn't necessarily mean that they're a gun nut, and then try to, you know, backtrack it and stuff. So this one, I am reading another article. However, this article is actually a person who calls himself a gun nut, and he had wrote an article. This was back in 2018. And what his what he feels about gun control. Okay, I mean, I skimmed over it, but I'm gonna read it with you, and then I'll probably chime in on my own words of beloved wisdom. Hey, everyone, thanks for we're up to 73 listeners now on the podcast. Thank you very much on Spotify. I don't really check the other ones like Apple and Amazon. It's like I can only focus on one thing on it at a time, so I'm focusing on Spotify, which is more important to me than any of the other ones. Even though, if I probably start researching all the other podcast channels out there and seeing which is more profitable or such, then I probably will change my mind and not view Spotify as the most important. But I do want to appreciate that. And just if you have someone that is willing to listen to someone babble, you know, I don't know, in this day and age, everyone seems to be so preoccupied with, you know, looking at things within a few seconds and getting entertained and that's it. And this won't be here, you know. Anyway, and then later on, probably in the next few months, I'd probably say in the next few months, maybe around after October or November, I'll probably expand and probably do some probably open a YouTube channel. I was going to use the Him Downstairs, but I think that's just separate. I mean, I am Him Downstairs, but I'd rather just use a new channel that's just primarily towards this podcast, you know? So anyway, let's get into it. Okay, so title of this article is called A Gun Nut's Guide to Gun Control That Works. And this was by a John Stokes. And this says, a federal license for possession of a semi-automatic firearms could make Americans safer and more free. I think that's important, especially in this type of political climate where we don't know where we stand. If you were to ask me about a few years ago, I probably would have been on one side. Now I'm on a different side. Now I'm not quite so sure. Now I see it as it could all be a ruse. It could all be, but what is more important is your rights. Your rights as a citizen, you know, your rights as an American citizen, you know, rights that are given to you by the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, you know. Those are the things that, you know, the most important things that we need to follow if, you know, as Americans. Okay, so anyway, John Stokes is a founder of Ars Technica. Sounds like it's some Latin or such term, and a former editor for Wired. I used to read Wired magazine back when I was really into computers. He writes about guns and technology for TechCrunch, AllOutdoor.com, TheFirearmBlog.com, and other publications. Okay, so this person I would take is that one. He's a former editor, so he's probably unlike the other one we read, where it was just some kind of grammatical errors. I'm assuming this guy's pretty much legit, and you know, I'm just, you know, it's fair use, and I'm just gonna say a couple things and then chime in, as I said before. All right, so. He says, I am a gun industry insider, a lifelong gun owner, and a vocal advocate for Second Amendment rights. I am a Texan, okay, and an American patriot who hauls my family to church every Sunday in a diesel pickup truck, where I sit in the pew and listen to the word with a 9mm pistol tucked inside the waistband of my fanciest jeans. Now, what he's saying is that, and you shouldn't be alarmed, I have fans that are from other different countries, and their mindset and culture is a little bit different. They might think, you know, America, especially Texas, is like the Wild Wild West, you know, and that could be one of two things. One, there's some truth, maybe truth to it. But the fact is, Texas is one of the largest states in America, and is heavily populated. You know, we're getting people from other states coming in, you know, pretty much, like, you know, I could say from everywhere, you know. And Texas is really big on, is, you can say oil used to be something Texas was really big. And now you can look at it as probably one of the few states that's, or let's say red state or Republican state. And then now you can also, Texas is big with veterans, especially me being a veteran myself, and especially disabled veterans. It is it's huge, you know, and then now with Texas is that they still have this law. They have not laws pertaining to gun ownership, especially like with your license to carry and open carry. It's one of those things that if you're in Texas, you're basically know that they press this whole thing about guns, about, you know, not press it down your throat like their ideology, but people know Texas is about guns, you know. So, and people who live outside the country and, you know, view this under a microscope should understand that it's America, I would, to me, America has been built on guns. You know, guns are icon. I mean, if you think about it, the whole thing of us, not us, but the original colonists had to separate themselves from England. And not only that, had to fight other people, you know, fight other countries, had to fight Native Americans, you know, Indians. So they had to fight the French. You know, they had to fight pretty much they had to defend themselves, or not even defend themselves, sometimes even be offensive. So guns have been part of the American, I would say, way of life ever since the country was conceived, you know. So So, you know, this individual talks about him going to church with the pistol. And I imagine that, you know, he probably goes to a church that's probably an open carry or a carry. Because let's face it, you know, people think, oh, why would you bring a gun to church? That's God. I was like, no, no. There's people that come to church and shoot everybody up. And I, you know, when a person starts making those insinuations, like, why would you, maybe this person's crazy. It's like, no, they're not crazy. It would be blessed to live in a culture or in a country that does not worry about things like someone coming in and trying to burn the church down, someone coming in to do harm at church, during church, you know. But we don't live over here. We don't live in that type of world. Okay. All right. Isn't this the part where the author inserts the inevitable? But as in, I am a firm Second Amendment advocate. Okay, so he is explaining that this is his right, according to the Second Amendment, the Bill of Rights, you know, that he is entitled to, you know, he is entitled to carry an arm, right to bear arms, right? Well, I've got no buts for you, but I don't need them. I believe that there is a way to increase both our individual gun rights and our collective safety. If we can only get gun controllers to quit bitterly clinging to outmoded feature bans and gun registries, and convince gun right advocates that liberty isn't just about what's in my gun safe, but also being able to exercise one's full spectrum of Second Amendment rights in every part of this great nation. So he brings up an interesting point. It's that I think with this way of gun control, you know, we have incidents that occur where there's mass shooting, there's a lot of casualties and, you know, death, and you have politicians, and not only just politicians but people, you know, on both sides explaining that, you know, guns are bad, they shouldn't be got, and especially when you're seeing that people are killed mercilessly, you know, not like it's war where there's a reason that person's armed, that other person's armed, so they're going to, you know, they're going to have at it, and then there's going to be casualties. Whereas, you know, shooting up a school where it's supposed to be protected, or it's supposed to be, let's say, I wouldn't say protected, it's supposed to be neutral territory. You're not supposed to have a gunman go there, but things happen that way, unfortunately. You can only, you know, they, you know, I've seen most schools, they have police, you know, to prevent situations like this, but it doesn't always happen. I mean, it doesn't always work, you know. I mean, you had some parts in Texas where there were school shootings and people were still killed, people that were reluctant to do their job as law enforcement or security officials. So, you know, and then at the same time, you have, which when you see that and you hear that, it, and they, and these individuals, or these ones who are pro gun control, they have a pretty legitimate case, you know, prove a point. Like, hey, these people are getting killed mercilessly with people owning guns. You know, they're not supposed to, you know, what if we remove all guns? That's not going to happen, you know, because then who's going to have, because you're still going to have the criminals. They're still going to have it. But what I would say doesn't make sense is that the ones who are for guns, or let's say your 2A advocates, they kind of just use the same good old boy method and say that, you know, it's for the Constitution and we have different reasons to have the right to carry and bear arms and such. It's just not using the same old adage, which, okay, it proves that the Constitution, you know, the people who wrote the Constitution, Bill of Rights and all that stuff, they had forethought. They, you know, they saw perhaps years and years down the line what this could mean, what could happen, you know, especially with dealing with, you know, not only to defend themselves, but also to defend themselves against a, let's say, a tyrannical government, which is a lot of gun enthusiasts, you know, or some like to put that out as there's a reason, you know, especially with, like I said, the political climate as it is, you know. You're talking about what's his name? I still remember this speech that President Joe Biden put out, and not necessarily blaming Democrats. It's like I try not to. When he came out with that speech, talking about, he talked about, like, if Republicans wanted to attack him, or go at him, and that he could challenge them with the F-16. You know, I know he's a little bit out of his gourd. He's not, his biscuits aren't done, as my grandma would say if she was around. That you're threatening you're threatening citizens, despite the fact that they may not be on your side or think like you. You know, you're not supposed to be. I can see if you're threatening like another country and we're at war with them, but I don't know. Okay, anyway. So the idea, and continuing on, the idea is simple but powerful. A federally issued license for simple possession of all semi-automatic firearms. This license would allow us to carry vet civilian access to semi-automatic weapons while overriding state-specific weapon bans and eliminating some of the federal paperwork that ties specific firearms to specific owners. I mentioned before, I myself, when I purchase a gun, I fill out a form that takes maybe about 10 minutes and sometimes a little bit more. And the reason it takes a little bit more, 'cause I'm having a conversation with the gun seller, you know. I don't see, and I've been to several gun owners, not just privately, but, you know, and even at their gun stores, and it's never taken anything longer than 10 or 15 minutes. I think the longest I had to wait was 30 minutes, was because they had the firearm, but they had to look for it because it was shipped. I've never had to have any issues, you know, with the paperwork, and not necessarily the paperwork, but, you know, the check, the background check and such, you know. So let me continue. It says, I offer this idea not only because I actually want to live in a world where it or something like it is the law of the land, but also because I and my fellow gun nuts are worried that a storm is coming that will sweep away a substantial portion of our gun rights without really making the country safer in return. So I guess this is, like I said, this was 2018, and I'm trying to think what gun attacks in U.S. in 2018, or mass shootings, right? Okay, mass shootings in 2018. So we had there was several, and the thing is that there's always some every year. It's never like there's one that's not. I'm trying to look at the biggest ones that were like a lot of deaths. Let's see, looking over. So you have like one, two. I mean, and what I'm saying is, at this moment, I'm not saying that all, you know, one, two deaths are insignificant. All death is significant. You know, I'm not putting that away. I'm trying to look at the ones that are the biggest ones that were, there. I don't think there was any. Okay. So you had the one, the Thousand Oaks shooting that was in California, and it was 13 dead and then 16 injured. So that was large. It was like 29. And basically, you know, that was one. Another one was in Tallahassee, Florida. And that was like a murder suicide. And then you had one in a synagogue in Pittsburgh in October 2018, October 27th. And a lot of these were apparently suicide. I mean, most of the time that the gunmen turned the weapon on themselves. And then there was a, just looking at to see if there's any more. Most of these were like personal incidents where it was like either a crime was about to happen or maybe some type of domestic dispute. A lot of these are just your basic. I'm trying to think of the one that happened with the shooting that was at the Aurora, I think Aurora, Colorado, the theater. That was crazy. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything like, yeah, like I said, most of the incidents I'm seeing in 2018 are just you know, I mean, they're putting a lot of these incidents up there, and you know, a lot of them are just like crimes, like domestic disputes and such. But anyway, going back to the story. So, you know, like I said, and this is probably, he's probably looking at stuff, and don't think of it as 2018. This person decided to, you know, the person put out this article at that time. But, you know, he had like 2000, probably, this was probably a few years back. Before 2018, there was a lot of other incidents that came up, you know. And right now he's mentioning that, let me just continue on with this. We're not even 5 months into the midterm election year, and 2018 has seen a string of high-profile incidents that have darkened the public's view of civilian gun ownership. February's massacre of the Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, followed by this month's shooting at YouTube headquarters in San Bruno, California, and at Waffle House in Nashville, Tennessee. In the aftermath of these killings, we are hearing proposals for anti-gun measures that we thought were widely considered out of bounds in the gun control debate, like a ban on semi-automatic firearms. I think the one that's interesting is they try to ban magazines, like high-capacity magazines. You know, like the, you know, they're trying to, you can only have a 10-round clip, you know. And then it says, repeal Second Amendment or even outright ban of the private ownership of guns. Some of us will think this will blow over, as it always does, and maybe will, but this time feels different. So, you know, the more the mass shootings that we have, the more and more we have bipartisan viewpoints regarding gun control, you know. To the point, we don't want anyone to die, and especially mercilessly, you know. And at the same time, what are you supposed to do? You know, you hear this, and then but then you have the other side who are supporting guns. You know, they're saying that, well, if you would if you allow facilities to have armed civilians, you know, allow them to carry their weapon inside a facility, then you probably wouldn't have this. Now that could, like I said, that is true. I see that as true, but then I see it as that we'll be heading into a downward spiral. Because let's just be somewhat honest. And I was hearing this yesterday. Yesterday I was driving to work, and there's this guy I listened to on YouTube, pretty popular. Well, I think he's popular. He's I wouldn't say he's a gun nut, but you could tell he has, you know, he owns guns. And he was talking about, for instance, he's talking about black people, and he said that a lot, you know, this whole thing with the last couple of years, especially like things with Black Lives Matter, and, you know, a lot of two-way issues and arguments coming up, that, you know, he's seen a lot more black people carrying weapons. And then you had all these things with, I'm trying to think of that. They weren't the Proud Boys. It was that one group, and I forgot. They were black people. They're all carrying arms, you know. And so it was some little hype for a while. And then they found out the main guy was an informant for the government. So it was like, damn. Okay. So anyway, so this guy's talk yesterday, his argument was, he was seeing all these individuals carrying these weapons. And then some of the weapons weren't even... I mean, he was nitpicking. He was saying that some of them had, like, they bought an AR-15, but had nothing on the rail, no scope, no iron sights, no nothing. No one had, you know, so they were somewhat ill prepared. And so, to a degree, for me, being in the military for a while and being trained and using these weapons and knowing what works for me and what works best and training others, I do share the same, you know, feelings as he does towards, you know, some of these individuals. But you have to understand, it has to start somewhere. And yes, there should be individuals in that place that should be there to train them, or perhaps tell them, like, hey, try this. And at the same time, you're looking at other variables, looking at cost of living. You know, some person just might buy a handgun and then says, okay, that's it. But then you have some person who can buy an AR-15, because think about it. I can get an AR-15 for $400 compared to a handgun I have to pay $600 for. Depending on the handgun, depending on the caliber, whatever. But I can probably get an AR cheap, you know. So let me get back to my point of why I see this as can be a downward spiral. The fact is that you have these individuals, you have a lot of individuals that buy these weapons, but they're not trained. You know, that's where I see, you know, calamity could ensue, because now if everyone's armed, everyone's not properly trained, now you're actually doing, in some ways, you're doing worse than you were to, you know, than only just a few individuals who are armed, because most of the time they're trained, you know, hopefully they're trained, you know. So, I you know, like I said, I can see it from both way. I can see it from both ways to support it. Like, yes, I think you need more people to be armed. But what you run into is the inadequacy of training. Because what I always tend to worry about, and this is the two things I worry about me caring, you know, is that I get into a situation where I'm in a crowded area and I have to pull a gun on someone. Now, I might be pulling the gun on someone at that moment where, let's say, not everyone is cognizant of that area or their situation. You know, they're not aware of their surroundings or their situation. They're not seeing the other person pulling the gun, so they see me pull a gun. Then I'm worried about someone pulling the gun on me and blowing me in half. And then not only that, I'm worried about other, you know, I mean, you worry about that. Then you have to worry about things. You have to worry about other things, you know, other things they take in consideration. Like, okay, if a person's trying to shoot somebody, what kind of rounds do they use? And I know people don't see that, you know. It's the difference, like, you know, me being a gun nut, at least I have the expertise to understand the difference between what a hollow point does and a full metal jacket does, especially to flesh and bone, you know. And those are the things people need to look at. And I think I've mentioned this before, and I'm going to keep mentioning it because it's important. You know, you use full metal jackets, usually in war, because they can cause a lot more damage to the person, or use it for training. Now, if you're using full metal jackets as like your self-defense, then you're wrong. You're going to get someone that you're going to get perhaps an innocent bystander killed. Now, if I've seen these what up videos on YouTube, these shorts, when there's like five or six dudes out there just, you know, got their Glocks and they got the, you know, the triggers all set up and stuff, and they're just shooting like 32 rounds within a few seconds. And okay, if they're all that close together, then shooting one round ain't going to hurt, because more likely it's going to come out of some other area out of your body and hit them, hopefully. Right. Okay. I'm not saying that's a reason to have a full metal jacket, but just, you know, like I said, understand bullet trajectory, understand damage. You know, if you watch Garen Thumb, he actually shows you what some of these rounds can do, especially like a full metal jacket versus a hollow point. I mean, there's some other YouTubers out there. There's one individual, interesting guy, and I started watching his stuff on shorts, and I thought his stuff was pretty good. I have to get his information. Probably I'll put it on Instagram once I get it. But anyway, let's continue this, right? Our side faces a potent new enemy in the form of a private sector companies like REI, Delta Airlines, Citibank, YouTube, and Reddit, which are taking an increasingly anti-gun stance. Yes. So this is, like I said, 2018. I recall YouTube was very... The thing with YouTube was interesting. It was like they had a lot of these, you know, a lot of soldiers came back from, you know, theater, like Afghanistan, Iraq, whatever, you know, Korea. So they were creating these, you know, gun channels to supplement their income, and which, like I said, brought a lot of useful information. And then you had like, who was that one? I'm trying to think of his name. FPS Russia. I think that's what his name. Yeah, it was popular. You know, the guy was fake Russian accent. Then he got hit with an ATF charge or something. All these guns that he had. But yeah, but anyway, shows like that, they showed all these guns and people started watching them. And, you know, like I said, that's YouTube. YouTube shows that type of stuff. But at the same time, they started to go, you know, the more that you had these mass shootings happening, they had this instance, they had this, they were against that. And anytime that you, and they were even shadow banning like certain gun channels and individuals that were, you know, either for Second Amendment rights and such. And then, you know, I don't know about Delta Airlines and Citibank, but I imagine they're all giant corporations. So if it's one's going to do it, then they pretty much all going to do it, especially if they all have this sort of hive mindset, you know. So he says, my fellow gun owners and I are now concerned not just with the potential erosion of our gun rights at the hands of our government, but also the erosion of our ability to communicate and educate about this topic in the online spaces that make up so much of our modern civic life. So, you know, you have a point of trying to communicate with everyone, but now your voice is going to be taken out because, as I said, we live in an ideal society where if you think differently than anyone, then you're not liked. You're even despised. You know, so they want to cancel you. They want to dox you. They want to put all your stuff out on the street. They, you know, they want you to lose your job. You know, basically they want you to die, you know. You know, and even if you ask for forgiveness and you told the lie, said, "Oh, I forgive you," and they don't care. It's they want their pound of flesh and then some. Okay, so let's continue. So there's fear and despair and anger on both sides, and neither side wants to give an inch. We seem doomed to fight endlessly over the same handful of half measures that neither side is happy with. You're right, and I see this. I saw this when a few years back when. I think in Texas they were trying to pull out guns rights, you know, here, you know, about trying to, because of California was doing it, you know, because you had like people like Senator Dianne Feinstein, who was pushing this whole 10 magazine law and such. You know, there was a massive shootout in California. I think it was one of the ones where there was a gentleman was shooting up some military recruiting station, and she was always pushing it, but you know, whenever you had the support of the president, well, let's say a few years back, we didn't have, it wasn't President Biden, it was Trump, and Trump was kind of, he didn't try to push it, but he does believe partly in for gun rights, but for the most, he's always been, you know, gun control, you know.
Now, who knows?
His stance might be different after this possible election coming up. That's if he gets out of his his situation. Oh, by the way, I saw the mugshot. So, you know, some of my coworkers and acquaintances have like mixed views about it. Some people are happy that he got a mugshot because you know, basically means that, you know, it kind of gives the perception that to certain people that don't watch the news or don't really catch up with the political commentary that he's a criminal. So now he's a criminal. And so why would you vote for a criminal in a highly decorated office, public office, right? I don't know. The look he gave kind of reminded me of Clint Eastwood right before, I'm trying to think of the movie. It was a Western. I'm trying to think, Hang 'Em High. Kind of like, I'm going to kill everybody in this motherfucker. So, yeah, that was interesting. I am. Yeah. All right. Anyway, we'll go on. We'll continue. All right. So we seem to doom fight endlessly over the same handful of half measures that neither side is happy with. So a new approach, a federal gun license for semi-automatic weapons like the AR-15s used in Parkland shooting in the Nashville Waffle House, has the potential to make us all safer while offering a net increase in liberty for the country's law-abiding gun owners. So so I guess this is a new assault weapons ban, or so anyway, he says, before I outline what such a license would look like, it's important to identify the structural barrier that even moderate and discriminating efforts at gun control have run up against in recent decades. And no, that barrier isn't a certain three-letter gun right organization. He's basically talking about the NRA. Nor is the collective grievances of some benign group of deplorables. Rather, it is the two pillars of which most of our modern life now rests, the market and the forward march of technological innovation. And then he explains the new reintroduced assault weapons bans and emblematic of gun control proponents consistent failure to understand how gun technology and the gun market actually work in the 21st century. Gun bans that are based on outlawing certain firearm features like the vertical grip or the adjustable stock, or limiting gun capabilities, for instance, by limiting the number of rounds of ammunition they can hold. Right. Like I said, the whole thing with the AR-15 has been has always been considered a politician's, especially one group politician's, wet dream. You know, that one individual, I want to say Shirley Jackson. I don't think she's a senator. I don't know. But anyway, she went off and told that story about how much, you know, the weight of an AR-15. And from the description of what she was talking about, I would swear she was talking about an M249. You know, that's a SAW, you know, squad automatic weapon, you know, which uses the same rounds as an AR-15, you know, .223 or 5.56. You know, but the way that she talked about this weapon, that, you know, like, this thing is, if you leave this alone, it will kill everybody. And I, you know, and she was definitely supporting the assault weapons ban, or the, she was saying weapons of war. So, you know, and this was something even Feinstein was pushing. She said the whole thing, she was trying to ban the drums, you know, like the 75 round, 100 round, 150 round drum, you know, that you know, and for her point, you know, her point is, what are you using this weapon for? You know, and to be real, they want to be real, the government, and I'm not saying all of the government, but the government wants to ban all weapons. You know, they use the AR-15 because constantly it's always, one, it, from their point of view, it's a weapon, it's an assault weapon, or it's a weapon, it's a weapon that's used by the military. So their point of view is, why use a why have a military weapon in a civilian environment? There's no need, you know. But that's the whole point of, you know, the right to bear arms, you know. So them having this weapon, if they reduce that, it will just start, it won't just start with AR-15s. Sooner or later, it'll deal with handguns, you know. And then once they ban all those guns, no one will have anything. And it, like I said, they're not going to try to come in one swoop, because they know people will stand up and say, no, I'm not going to take that. And, or let's say more than what the people are doing now, instead of just having an issue with just, you know, it's like, okay, let's just try to get AR-15s. But it's not just going to stop with AR-15s. It's going to stop with everything, you know. So it says gun bans that are based on outlawing certain firearm features like the vertical foregrip or the adjustable stock, or limiting gun capabilities, for instance, by limiting the number of rounds of ammunition they can hold, are relics of a bygone era when you bought a gun and didn't modify it without the help of a professional gunsmith. You know what I need to do? I'll put this on Instagram and Twitter. I'm going to show those articles, actually those advertisements of a gun, like a Smith & Wesson. Smith & Wesson used to have those ones with like a 38. They had one of, I think you have one of a 1911 just for sale, just like it was in TV Guide or your Sunday paper, you know, like kind of like coupons or something. I'm going to bring those out and just show those and see what people think of those and just say, wow, you know, back then, because I think they made guns like $30 or something. So continuing, it says, nowadays the most popular rifles and shotguns and handguns are explicitly designed as modular weapon platforms where parts can be mixed and matched with a few simple tools and no specialized expertise. In fact, not only the AR-15 is just a modular and easy hackable platform, but so is the new Army new standard issue handgun, the SIG M17, available. Well, that's the whole point. We're in a capitalist society, you know, capitalist country, where they're going to sell it, and they're going to sell it not just to the military, but they're going to sell it to civilians as well. I mean, it's part of business, you know. I mean, should they start selling, you know, M1 Abrams tanks? Should they start selling Stryker, you know, vehicles? Should they start selling Bradleys? Should they start selling F-22s? I mean, I don't think anyone can afford an F-22 or F-35, but, you know, if you want it, it's going to be out there. And of course, you're not going to be able to buy a jet fighter. They're going to completely retrofit that and scoop that thing out and make that thing so lame that you can't do anything with it, you know, because they don't want the technology going anyway. They don't want anyone buying the technology anyway. So I just think that, you know, if my belief with guns and gun control, and especially being a gun nut myself, is that I had years of experience. I had years of experience training with weapons. Not saying that the next person has to have the same amount of years of training and be as enthusiastic about these weapons, but they need training. They can't simply just buy a gun without, let's say, some type of training. And that's what kind of turns everybody off. As soon as you tell me I have to take a class, and let's say I have to pay that individual money to take a class, then no one's probably not going to do it. You know, so
I mean,
when most people who do have firearms, especially if you're going to, it's an investment. It's not something that you're going to, I can spend think of it like a PlayStation, and not comparing. And I don't want narrow-minded individuals getting pissed off and saying, "Oh, you're saying the gun's like a PlayStation?" I'm like, no. What I'm saying is the amount to the individual who is investing money, right? You spend $400 on a PlayStation, right? PlayStation 5. You buy a couple of games, $50-$60, download them, whatever, right? So you're going to be playing those games, let's just say for the most part, majority of you are going to be playing those games for a considerable period of time, maybe a couple of years or such. That person take the same individual who buys a handgun or even a rifle, let's say 400, okay? You think, I just have the rifle, that's it. But you don't train with it. Like, unlike the PlayStation, you go and play with it because it's fun, it's entertaining. The gun you're probably not going to, you know, perhaps you may not train on. You might just, maybe you could, you put some, I probably compare the rifle to, let's say, some treadmill or bicycle, just like my bicycle. I have a spinning bicycle, but it's used as a coat rack now. But with me, with the rifle, not only am I going to train with it, I'm going to shoot it just raw. I call that raw shooting, just shooting it as is, no modifications, nothing, no technical wizardry, no nothing, no alterations, just as is. And then from there, I'm going to tweak it and play with it to the point that it becomes a weapon which I can use and let's say use and have fun with, but at the same time depend on if the case need be. Okay. And it can be expensive. You know, you buy some of these, now interesting, if you're going to buy some of these accessories, you know, for this weapon and such, you know, don't try to go, you know, don't be that guy or that person, individual, that buys, like, say, a $400 AR and thinks that I have to buy a $600 scope, you know, the shit that you see on the movies or on the TV, and think, oh, I need the same type of specifics, so I could see Batman from the horizon and so I could shoot him. And, you know, you don't need that. You know, just if you have questions about weapons and stuff and weapon systems, you can always ask me. I can look up stuff for you. I like looking up stuff, you know, and there's people out there who are willing to train. I mean, I'm actually going back to training in the next few months. I just have so much shit to do, but I'm going to start training again, you know, not taking classes that I take a class next month at the 30th, you know, just for handguns, and I'll start taking stuff for rifle and shotgun. I used to have an NRA training, you know, certification, but I don't do that. I don't use NRA, so now I'm on USCCA, so I'm working with them, hopefully, to get a training license. Well, actually, something over here in Texas to do train people how to do a license to carry and all that stuff, because it seems to be a profitable business venture and such. So anyway, let me continue on with this article. Okay, so for modern firearms, the gun, from the perspective of the federal law, is typically an empty metal frame or polymer shell with a serial number stamped into it, while all the rest of the parts that actually make the gun work are widely available online to anyone with a credit card. So, you know, you don't need an anarchist. Okay, see, this is just another word I have to write down. You don't need to go on the dark web to buy parts for a weapon. I mean, you can, but probably stranger weapons, and you don't know who's on there, which I would never take a chance with. You know, like I said, I shop on Bud's Guns Online. You got Gun Broker, you got Cheaper Than Dirt, you know, you got other sources out there that you can buy weapons from. Like, I believe personally everyone should have a weapon. Now, when I say personally everyone should have a weapon, if you want to, you know, some people have a stigma attached to it. Some people have had trauma where, you know, guns have came into play. I mean, I should have a serious trauma. You know, I try to kill myself with one, you know, and I'll say that story for another time. You know, I won't talk about that. But anyway, this is something that it's important. You know, don't treat it like some expensive arc, you know, expensive accessory. Treat it, you know, treat the weapon with respect. And I guarantee you won't be scared of it. You know, I'm not saying you'll play with it or act like it's, you know, be dependent on it. But, you know, just don't buy it and then not buy things to enhance it to make the experience more, I would say, pleasurable. You know, just, you know, if you're not going to use it at all and just let it sit there and collect dust, and just don't waste your money. Just learn how to do something else, you know. Take that money and learn how to do self-defense. You know, hopefully the person doesn't put a gun on you, then you have to worry about that then, okay? So anyway, calls to the end of the sale of these modular weapon platforms and return to the classic wood-stocked hunting rifles and revolvers of a bygone era are nothing less than calls to roll back a few decades worth of market-driven technological innovation. It's just not going to happen. Halfway attempts are doomed to any attempt to grandfather in existing guns will necessarily leave the parts market intact. And customers who want a new gun can buy a new, mostly pre-assembled parts collection and then insert it into an existing frame or into a newly fabricated one. So, and like I'm saying, I'm not going to read all this extra stuff because it's quite extensive. As I mentioned before, when owning a gun is, I would say, buying a gun for whatever your reason is for buying a gun, just make sure that you're comfortable with it. You know, a lot of times I do have individuals, either coworkers, acquaintances, or even just some people that, you know, they start doing my background. They start asking me, like, well, what type of gun, you know, I should get. And and usually the conversation doesn't go that far, because I really get into it. Because sometimes I ask them, I says, well, you know, what's your experience? And before, I used to look at people's hands and say, okay, then I can imagine what type of pistol they could use and, you know, the kickback and all that stuff. But nowadays I start asking them, I says, well, what's your experience with guns? You know, have you had guns? You know, have you had guns in your family? Have you shot a gun? Are you scared of guns? You know, tell me about it, you know? And, you know, and my belief is they were a veteran somehow or another. They probably have held one for training, you know, purposes, you know, or other means or other reasons for it. So, but those individuals, I ask a bunch of questions just to see from their, you know, their point of view, what would be, you know, would you prefer a handgun? Would you prefer a rifle? Would you, you know, another question I ask them, what is the weapons used for? Do you want one gun? You know, some people might want two or three guns. You know, what is this going to be used? Are you going to stick this in your purse? You know, are you going to stick this in your car? You know, where is this going? You know, so like I said, I think it's important to understand the responsibility of, you know, of owning a gun. And not only that, be aware of the responsibility, you know. I was going to read something else, but you know, this guy goes in specifics. It's a really good article. He goes in specifics about what type of weapon, you know, did you want a pump shotgun? Do you want an AR semi-automatic rifle? You know, he talks about, he goes through a step-by-step of when you purchase a gun and what you have to do, which is what I brought up before. I mentioned that, you know, of what you have to do when you want, I explained to you when I buy a gun. And I've bought in several different states. It's not just Texas. I bought some in New Mexico, some in Pennsylvania. It really just depends on you, you know, on what you do with it. And, I'm trying to look at something else. And then he has some objections to it, you know, especially with the government, and then there's other things that you didn't know about certain gun laws. And I think I'll bring this up as well about, like, for instance, flying in the United States and taking a gun with you or on the plane. You can't bring them, obviously, to international countries. Obviously, you can't do that unless you have diplomatic immunity. But, you know, you have to know the country you're flying to. But I'll explain more of that later later on. So anyway, I think that's going to do it. We're going to talk just about that. It's already close to an hour, and I think I've talked so much. Tomorrow or the next few days, I'll use the funny gun nut story. I promise I said I would, and I'm going to use it. And about New Mexico. And I think, like I said, I have a few. If you have any questions or such, reach me on gorillaspitting.com. Or you can reach me at gorillaspitting@gmail.com, you know, or you can leave a comment on Spotify, I believe. I think they have a message comment or something. All right. Anyway, everybody take care. Have a safe weekend and see you soon. Peace.